You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
This election will be examined for years, of course, by strategists and historians, but at first glance, the Obama victory seems to have been manufactured from the ground up by an incumbent president who had a difficult message in a struggling economy. Usually an incumbent president can count on running on his successful record and using the presidency itself to drive the momentum of voters to victory. Our next guest says that was not an option for President Obama, but the Obama campaign managed to do something possibly even more effective. David Frum, Republican strategist and former economic speechwriter for President George W. Bush, says the Democrats created a bigger tent of support through their ground game organization and exploited the Republicans' inability to reach outside their shrinking base.
The Republicans had a very tough night last night, and I think the full magnitude of the toughness is going to sink in. President, because it's not just the election. It's the fact that all of the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of this year. So the Republican Party has lost. It's lost its gamble that it could stop Obamacare by opposing it rather than negotiating, and it's lost its gamble that it could do a tax cut. Now it faces a tax increase that happens automatically with no vote. The Republican Party has to reinvent itself as the party of the American middle class. Right now, you're hearing a lot of voices on TV saying all the Republican Party needs to do is relax on immigration and staple the Latino vote to its existing coalition. But that's just wrong. Immigration was not the reason, not the most important reason that Latinos stayed away, and the existing coalition is not going to work. The Republican Party needs to rebase itself as a middle-class party of producers like conservative parties in Britain, Canada, and elsewhere in the advanced world.
What do you make of the fact that Latinos in Colorado and Florida, two very different places with very different Latino issues, were very, very powerfully for the Democrats last night?
27% of the people without health insurance are foreign-born. They're not all Latino, but they're a big part of them. Latinos are much more likely to be without health insurance. You don't get to be on TV unless you're educated and affluent. And the reality of what it's like to not have health insurance is just something that people on TV don't think about it. They read about it, but they don't think about it. And so what they imagine is if you open the gates and just they think of Latino politics as being like ethnic politics, like a rerun of black politics from the 1960s. And of course, Latinos want respect, and they don't want to be insulted like any human beings. But they have very practical concerns. And what I would also say to Republicans above all is, although you want to invite everybody to vote for you, the people who are most likely to vote for you are people who are self-employed, who are more educated and more affluent, and that looks to the Asian American community much more than the Latino American community, which is at least the Mexican American division, which is poorer than the American average, not as with Asian Americans, richer.
Very, very interesting. What do you make of the rhetoric last night from the likes of Bill O'Reilly, who was saying that now in America, the whites are in the minority, and this is an America of people who want stuff, and that sort of patronage politics is what Obama and the Democrats are about?
Well, let me put it this way. The population on Medicare is 85% white. All those Medicare people want stuff. And it has been a fundamental misunderstanding of the country and the American social insurance system for people who are more affluent than average and who pay a little more taxes than average to think that they are net losers from the American fiscal transfer system. They are the winners. The Republican Party is the party of the people who get the most. We spend, I think, something like four times as much per person on people over 65. So this whole Ayn Rand fantasy has to be banished. We need to think not about welfare, but about social insurance. Republicans want that social insurance system to be less generous than Democrats do. That's a real difference. But don't divide the country this way. And by the way, white America, they're all going to have, whitish or non-white daughters-in-law and sons-in-law. That's not, the enemy you're talking about. That's people's in-laws.
Interesting. David Frum, let's talk about message versus ground game. It seems to me that the Democrats were particularly successful in using their ground game to take advantage of the demographic math on the ground, in the sense that if you could get into various neighborhoods and communities and organize within those communities, you could produce an electoral result that reflects the changing demographics of the United States. Democrats did that much better than Republicans.
Well, Democrats had a huge disadvantage, which is the economy remains very weak. And President Obama's reelection proposition is not very attractive. These have not been a great 4 years, and he was not very specific about what was to come in the next 4 years. He had a fiscal message about what he wanted to do with taxes, but he didn't have an economic message. So, yes, you needed to do a lot of organizing. One more point. You often hear it said that this is the first time since FDR that a president has won reelection with unemployment so high. But in 1936, although unemployment remained high, the American economy was growing like a rocket. We estimate now maybe 9% a year. In 2012, the American economy grew at 2%. So the president had a weak hand, and organization was the way to overcome his weak hand.
Is in retrospect now, and still the jury is out, and these dynamics are going to grow really over the next 5 years, is the Tea Party episode of 2010 a damaging impact for the Republican Party, in the sense that it looks more like a fear of being in the minority ideology as opposed to a real program moving forward?
The Tea Party movement was an important movement, and it energized a lot of people. It threw away some winnable Senate seats. But it was always, from the beginning, a limited movement. And here's the basic math, and I've been pounding this point home for 2 years. I'm hoping now people will listen. In off-year elections, about 40% of the country comes out to vote. And the people who come out to vote are older, richer, and whiter. In general election years, the whole country comes out to vote. In 2010, voters over 60, I don't know, they use different ages in different years, I don't know why. Voters over 60 were a third of the electorate. This year, voters over 65 were 15% of the electorate. That's why the Tea Party could win in 2010 and why it can't win in 2012. And guess what? Conservative Republicans will do better in 2014, and they will do worse in 2016. And that is just in the electoral math. And you have to remember that big electorate when you're making your plans for the off years as well as the big years.
So finally, is your advice to the GOP to have the will to put down the socialist kind of rhetoric, the Rush Limbaugh sort of incompetence destroying the country kind of rhetoric, and work on some sort of negotiated solution to the problems that we're facing?
Not exactly. I've written all of these thoughts down. I've got an e-book coming out on Friday called Why Romney Lost. I didn't do any predictions before the election, but I wrote a book on the presumption that he was not going to win. And I'll lay them out there. But specific ideas there. But look, the challenge for Republicans is to uphold their ideals. And the kind of modernization I'm talking about is not an abandonment of conservatism. It's necessary for the survival of conservatism. President Obama has some very big ideas, and they're ideas that most Republicans and most conservatives reject. And they're ideas that I reject. And sometimes negotiation is the way to go. Sometimes you have to fight, but you always have to do it intelligently and with a view of realities. And using racial language is never wise. It's also never right.
Mr. Frum, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper, with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.